Ohakone is facing a significant water crisis after earthquake damage to a raw water pipeline, compounded by technical failures during repairs, and it's left residents and businesses without a reticulated water supply and dependent on emergency water distribution. Kindly in for a kōrero is the Mayor of Ohakone, Weston Curtin. Weston, thanks for joining us again on Wate. It's a pleasure to welcome you again. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Maureen, and thank you for having me on.
It's look, we understand too that there have been rumblings under the ground, and this has sort of compounded the situation, but residents have endured multiple changes to restoration timeframes, with water expected back Monday before the deadline was pushed out again. What lessons has the council learned about crisis communication, and how can the public trust future updates will be accurate? Weston, put us in the picture, please.
Oh, thank you. Firstly, we did have an earthquake 5.9 just 2 or 3 weeks ago, which would have affected a lot of infrastructure, but some of that is not known yet. However, we'll do some research to see whether or not the earthquake caused this problem or is an ageing fault with the line. I'll just put it in perspective that it's 5 kilometres in the foothills of Mount Ruapehu, and it's under vegetation in some cases, and it's difficult terrain. It's got loops, and you know, it's a difficult sort of situation there. That is the inlet to the water scheme. And what we've got, of course, is, you know, we've got a breakage, or had a breakage there that was difficult to start with. And then what caused most of the problem was the airlock system. And so they couldn't find that to start with. They needed relief valves located. They had to add relief valves to the system. So that's what the problem was yesterday, where we couldn't get any progress with that airlock. And then Veolia had to bring in some other resources from Hawke's Bay, Whanganui, further north, just an army of people to come in and help with the situation. And they got over the line all the air out of the system before lunchtime yesterday. That gave us confidence that we would be able to get water to the plant. But it's a game of two halves. One is that you get, you know, fix the problem and get it all sorted out in terms of delivery to the plant. But you've got to clean the big reservoirs out. You've got to actually make sure that it's all compliant. And safety is paramount when you have water, of course. But the plant needed to have sufficient volume to actually activate the systems in the plant itself. And I've just got to mention, too, that we spent $10 million on that Ohakone plant just in the last year or two to actually upgrade the system in terms of delivery of the water to Ohakone. What wasn't done is the 5 kilometres of oldish plant, 70-odd years old, because we couldn't simply afford it. However, it is what it is, and now we're faced with a situation where we've got the water. Now we've got to deliver it to the households within reason throughout the day. And so we're anticipating by 5 o'clock we'll have water in the homes of most, if not all, of the community. But the issue here now is to make sure that it is compliant in terms of safety. And we're talking about chlorination testing. We're talking about, you know, sediment and all those sort of things that could be disruptive throughout the course of today and if not into the future. So that's all I can tell you is that we're waiting with interest today to get the clearance that the water plant is up to spec in terms of delivery. And then we'll give further instructions to the community or give some comms around, you know, what happens next. And that is boiled water notices is probable. And then we can actually, you know, iron out some of the issues that come along from the delivery side of it.
And I thank you, Weston, for, you know, a very comprehensive overview of what has occurred and some of the challenges ahead. And I take your point that, you know, you spent $10 million last year on the water reservoir issues, but the 70-year-old pipelines are going to be problematic. You said that you would, as a community, you would have liked to address that, but it's more expensive than you're able to carry yourselves. The outage has exposed that vulnerability of the network that includes ageing infrastructure and difficult terrain. What commitments can you make today about long-term investment in the Ohakone water system, bearing in mind that you can't carry all of that yourself? What sort of governmental support would you anticipate, and when will ratepayers see a detailed plan to improve its resilience, Weston?
Well, yes, it's a very good point. And I just make another point in that if it was a brand new plant, say it was part of that, say it was another $5 million to do the water plant, I'm suggesting that perhaps the earthquake could have actually damaged the new pipe anyway. So I think we've got to be quite clear here. The fact that you've got a new plant or a new pipeline, earthquakes don't determine whether it's old or new. They just bust it, but they break it. So, we've got to be quite clear that it's not necessarily a new pipe would have actually saved the situation. So I've got to be quite clear about that. But having said all that, we are going through a transition, as everyone knows, through a new entity, and it's a reform around the waters that will be taken out of the hands of local councils and put into a new entity. In our case, it's with Whanganui, and that entity will deal with a whole lot of issues that each community has in its own right. Whether it's actually to address this issue of renewing the pipe in Ohokuni, it's probable. It may stimulate, and I think you made a good point that what is the government doing to actually help small communities, small rating base, affordability issues along the way, and we've got safety issues as well. I think it's a good case to go to the government and to say, we have 1.5 million visitors come into the communities like Ohokuni and the Ruapehu, and for that reason, they're not ratepayers. They're recipients of the ratepayers' contribution to all this. So I think we've got a case through the tourism funds that the government have, the visitor levy that the government crow about, putting money into sort of cycleways here, there and everywhere around the country. But what about the water? What about wastewater and those sort of things is the argument. And I take your point, and I think we should be marching to Parliament to say that this infrastructure is aging. It's 70-odd years old. It's broken. And the ratepayers have had enough of paying out rates for this sort of infrastructure. And to put it in perspective, our small community with a small rating base of around about 10,000 is holding, doing all the heavy lifting in six different plants throughout the district. We have six communities here that we've got to actually fund water and wastewater. So it's a big ask for a small community. We have a large terrain, 6,000 square kilometres, biggest in the whole of the region. So it's hard on small communities, and the affordability is a major issue for us.
I must acknowledge too that safety of drinking water in particular is paramount. We've seen entire communities get struck. If we recall what happened down on in the Hawke's Bay some years ago. You can't give the thumbs up and green light until everything is ticker. Respect that is the paramount consideration. And thanks for sharing some thoughts with us. I wonder, we've got a very prominent and active Māori community in and around with in Ohakune there. And as we look at sort of marae resilience and issues around it, I just wonder if there's any consideration or thoughts about how marae perhaps could play a role in situations like this. Has that come to mind at all, Weston?
Oh, very much so. We have an emergency, civil defence is big in this area. We've had significant issues and events in previous times. For example, we have the earthquake just recently. We've had fires. We've had storms, flooding in this part of the world. Mountain eruptions has been in the past, a history of, all sorts of things. So marae always step up. They're a part and parcel of our emergency systems and response for good reason. And they've got scale, and they've got networks, and they've got resilience. So we rely heavily on marae. We have at least six marae and iwi around us, and so each part play their part. Ngāti Rangi in Luku and Ngāti Tuwharatau are all partners and helping when the hour of need is required. And so we always lean, and they're always involved, by the way, with any response. So whenever we have teams, and I'll be on one again today, we always have leaders of iwi in part in the discussions, and they always always want to play a part in there in the terms of response, not only for their own people, but also the offer of food, resources, and caring for people's welfare. So we have a very good network of iwi relationships, and also, they've actually stepped up when they needed to.
Thanks very much. We're in your corner, knowing that these events, you know, were really caused by the earthquake that we're all aware of some weeks ago. And I know that you're boxing on as best you can down there in Wahakunia. Thanks very much for, you know, a comprehensive update of where this is all at. Appreciate your time and and the mahi that's been done. Thank you, Weston.
Thank you, Mahi Nui. Thank you.
Tēnā koe, Weston Curtin, who is the Wahakunia mayor.